Today, as we, those of you who want to stay and dive into God's Word on this side of the curtain, we're going to look at a story in the Bible of people who were giving beyond their means. Now, you've probably heard the statement, someone living beyond their means. Like, we get that idea, spending money we don't have, going into debt, like doing those things. We get that idea, living beyond our means, but that's not what we're talking about today. The story that we're going to dive into Scripture is a people giving beyond their means. And so rather than spending to satisfy themselves, to keep up with the Joneses, they were giving to meet the needs of others. And not only did they capture a heart of generosity, did they catch that vision for their lives, they were begging for the chance to do it. It's a crazy story, right? Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, 3 and 4. He says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." Man, giving beyond their ability and begging for the chance to do it. It's like if this wasn't in Scripture, you would think this was a story I made up to try to fulfill a story about generosity, right? But this is in the Scriptures. It's right there in your Bible. And you know, as I studied this week and this idea of generosity, I can't help but wonder, what would this type of generosity, what would this type of giving look like in our lives? What would it look like for us to give beyond our means? Like, it's easy enough for me to envision living beyond my means. That company that lures me in every time, Bass Pro Shops, man, they just sent out that beautiful Black Friday sale flyer ad. Like, come on! Who doesn't need a larger fishing graph for their boat? I'm just saying. It's easy enough for me to envision and to even find myself into entering into that temptation to live beyond my means, but what would it look like to give beyond our means? Man, and more than that, what would it look like if we embraced that model of generosity? What would our world look like? Man, I just can't help but think our world, our community, our families would be different. You see, that's the power of generosity. It transforms us, and God uses it to transform our world. It's the power of generosity. Today we're continuing and concluding all in one fell swoop here, part two of our teaching series called Thanksgiving. And if you weren't here last week, this series is all about generosity. You see, generosity is at the very core of who we are as Christians. It's at the very core of who we are as a church. And generosity, if you were trying to boil that down and just wrap your mind or get a handle on it, it's the love of God lived out through our actions into our world. That's generosity, and it can look like so many different things. We might think immediately of giving money, but it doesn't stop there. You see, true generosity takes on many forms. It can even look as simple as taking a hike. You're like, all right, Pastor, try me. Well, let me introduce you to Bill Kingria. He lives just north of town here in Elkton. He comes to activities and things here. He's a part of our Harrisonburg campus. And Bill is practicing generosity by taking a hike. For his 88th birthday, Bill decided he wanted to hike 100 miles of the AT, of the Appalachian Trail. And along the way, he decided that he would raise money to support Hope Distributed. Hope Distributed is a local nonprofit connected with our Harrisonburg campus, and man, they meet needs of families for food and baby items and furniture. And so Bill has been joined by family and friends along the way. He's raised several thousand dollars to meet needs in the community. Friends, this is generosity. Take a hike. You don't have to have a lot of money to make a difference. You don't even need to be able to hike 100 miles. And everybody said, amen. But friends, God has given you. He's given you time. He's given you talents and gifts and abilities that can impact the people around you. That's the call to generosity. And it can take on so many different forms. It can be serving at a local nonprofit like EAUS. It can look like serving at the church. It can look like baking a tray of brownies to bless someone. It can be showing up to family night at Kiger's. It can be making a visit when someone's not feeling well. You see, there's no limit to generosity. It's an invitation to step into God's plan, His call for your life. It can also look like taking up a collection to help friends and fellow believers in need. And that's the example we're going to study today. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing in our teaching text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So if you have your copy of Scripture, I'd invite you to go ahead and make your way there to 2 Corinthians. The text will be on the screen. There's also a YouVersion app up for the day. But before we can get into the teaching text, we need to do a little legwork. We need to get a running start at this thing so we get the full picture of what's happening. And so during this time, the first century there in the same time frame as this was written, Jerusalem was under a severe famine. So believers there are really struggling. Now, historically, we don't know why. We don't know what was causing it. Some speculate a drought, some speculate a flood, and so you can imagine it's somewhere in between. But for whatever the reason, the Bible tells us that believers there are really struggling. And so at the same time, the Apostle Paul, he is on his missionary journeys around the Roman Empire. He's spreading the news of Jesus. He's starting little pockets of Jesus communities around the Roman Empire, and he wants to help. He wants to do what he can to relieve the suffering of the saints in Jerusalem. And so as he goes to these different cities, he's extending an invitation to each one to, hey, let's get in on what God is doing to help the people in Jerusalem. And so as we come to our teaching text today in 2 Corinthians 8, this letter, 2 Corinthians, is written to the church in Corinth. And as we come to chapter 8, he's highlighting the generosity of one specific group of believers from the region of Macedonia. Now, I brought a map just so we could get an idea here. Macedonia is kind of top center. There in that region, you see Philippi and Thessalonica. We recognize those names from the scriptures, right? Jerusalem is in the bottom right-hand side. So there's a bit of distance. You can tell that the Apostle Paul, man, he traveled. And mind you, this is first century. He didn't take a plane or a train or a car. He was on a ship or on foot. So Macedonia, their generosity today is inspiring. It's challenging to us because as they give, as the Apostle Paul highlights their giving, man, they had nothing to give. They had nothing to give, but that did not stop them from getting in on what God is doing, on getting in on being generous. So that's the context that we're looking at today. And so as we begin with our text, Paul is showing us, he's talking about, by way of encouraging us, the reader, he said, hey, look at the generosity of the Macedonians. That's our journey today. So let's pray before we dive in, and we'll start unpacking the text. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we give you thanks today for this chance to come and to study your word. Lord, to understand some historical things, Lord, but to see what your grace was doing in the first century church. And Lord, as we read the text, as we read your word, would you challenge us? God, speak to our hearts today as we are your people invited to step into what you're doing in our world and beyond. So God, would you speak as we open your word today? In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning at verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." So as the Christians were struggling in Jerusalem, the Christians in Macedonia were having a really hard time as well. And here again, we aren't exactly sure what was to blame, why they were struggling so much. But we do know historically this region was heavily persecuted. And so if you bore the name of Jesus, if you profess faith in him, that opened you up to all kinds of trial and tribulation. Scholars believe that it was even hard to do simple things like get your groceries and go to work. And so that's the context of what's happening in the Macedonian region. And so this idea, while we're not sure, we can look at the language that Paul uses and pull out some truth. He says that they were under a severe trial in Macedonia. That idea of severe trial, it's distressing, it's affliction, it's being under pressure. That's the Macedonians. It says that this pressure, this trial was so severe that it left them in extreme poverty. And if you looked at that word, that original meaning, it literally means down to the depths poverty. So we might say today, man, they were at rock bottom. Or they were dirt floor poor. That's the level, that's the story of the Macedonians. And so for all that was going on in their lives, in their circumstances, did not take their joy, did it? Did you notice that in the text? Like that contrast, severe trial, extreme poverty, joy. Man, we should just stop there and pray. For all that their circumstances had taken from them, it did not take their joy. It didn't stop them from stepping into action to love their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And friends, as I look at that, as I contemplate that, like generosity like that is not normal. It cuts across the grain of who we are. And notice in the first verse that Paul says, he specifically says that when he's holding up this example, as he's highlighting them, he says, let me tell you about the grace. Let me tell you about the grace God has given the Macedonians. And as he's framing this whole example, this whole conversation of generosity, it's because the grace of God. This grace of giving is God's divine enablement. It's his gifting. It's his empowerment to live this out. That's what the Macedonians were experiencing. That's how they could find joy in giving amidst their own poverty. God was at work in their hearts, in their lives. And Paul wants everyone to know that it's God's grace that motivates and empowers our generosity. It's his favor at work in our lives. Let's continue at verse 3. He says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. The Macedonian church believed so much in their call to love their neighbors that they were willing to do whatever it took to live it out. We don't know. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It's all across his work. And nowhere does Paul talk about how much they gave. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Because generosity is not about the amount. It's not about the amount. Paul says, what they gave, what they were able, and beyond. I think what Paul's trying to say here is that they gave at a level that wasn't comfortable anymore. Now, I don't know about you. This might just be confession for my life, and that's okay. We'll work through it. But like, we have a comfort level of giving, right? Like, there's some things that are just a no-brainer. We just give. It's comfortable. A couple weeks ago, we went through the Dairy Queen drive-thru. We placed our order, and the talking box responds, right? Hey, would you like to donate a dollar to the UVA Children's Hospital? Well, yeah, like it's a buck. Absolutely. It's comfortable, right? Don't even think about it. Just do it. It's comfortable. Well, let's reset that for a second. Imagine if the talking box said one small cookie dough blizzard, one chocolate dip cone, one small sundae. That'll be $16.37. And would you like to round that up to an even $1,000 today to donate to UVA Children's Hospital? Be like, you can keep it. Right? Like, that is another level of giving that we're being called to. That's a not comfortable level. Like, no, I'm going to need more than a blizzard. There's a threshold there, right? And I think that's what Paul's trying to communicate to us in this text. That the churches of Macedonia, the believers there, they gave beyond what was comfortable. It was sacrificial. It stretched them to step into what God was doing, and they wanted to do it. Can I just be honest that one of the things that glares at me from this text, they were begging to do it. Like, can you imagine? Like they saw Paul come through, he's sharing the story, and they go, oh, Paul, hey, please let us give. I know we're in a hard time, but like, give us a couple minutes. Let us sell some things. Let us pool our resources. Let us give. Like, I ain't never seen that happen. This is a different type of generosity. It's a grace of giving. And they gave beyond what was comfortable. They gave from a place of an overflow of joy in their heart and their life. And friends, that's what Paul really points to in the next verse at verse 5. He says, and they exceeded our expectations. 2024 translations, they blew our minds. They exceeded our expectations. They blew our minds. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. You see, for the Christians of Macedonia, their generosity was an outflow. It was an overflow of their relationship with the Lord. They saw their generosity, they saw their giving as an expression of love and devotion, yes, to their neighbor, but also to the Lord. They realized that, man, this was part of their service, this was part of their loving the Lord, was to give. Even in the midst of their own extreme trial and poverty, giving wasn't optional, it was a priority. Man, that's the Macedonian generosity. Man, church, might that be true of us? Might that be true of us? If you continue in the teaching text through chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul takes this example, these first five verses, and he begins to unpack it, and he teaches and makes great points and extrapolates generous living. And I would encourage you, if you have some time this week, to read chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians and just see what Paul says there. See how he applies this teaching. For us today, I really want us to hang out in these first five verses. I thought a lot about where to land this thing, and I really just want to keep looking at the Macedonian story because it's challenging me. That level of giving is something I need to grow in. And so I would just want to share a couple things. Like, I've been asking a question, okay, what does it look like for us? What does it look like for me to take a step of faith in that direction? Some of you might be saying, well, preacher, you're going that way on your own. But like, let's work on this, right? Like, this is what Paul is holding up. He's saying, look, church in Corinth, like, this is what other people are doing. Don't you want in on it? And I can see that today, and it's like, hey, this is what generosity looks like. Do you want in on it? Yeah, Lord, I do. I do. Don't get a beard hair in your mic. So how do we take a step of faith in this direction? I think the first thing that we have to see and we have to wrestle with is that the Macedonians, they gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves to the Lord and they received His grace. The kind of generosity that is shown here, is held up here, it won't happen on our own. It's not going to happen on our own. If we're going to experience this kind of generosity, what we're reading about, we have to start by giving ourselves to the Lord. And when I say give ourselves, I'm not just talking about giving money to the Lord. I'm talking about giving our lives to Him. You see, this is not having an agenda, a motive, a mission of our own. This is saying, yes, God, I'm all in. Every part of my life, including my giving, is yours. My eating, drinking, going to bed, going to work, all of that, Lord, is yours. And you see, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we begin to see our lives as one big offering for God to do whatever He wants with. We got to start there. We got to start there. The generosity that we see in the Macedonian church, it's going to flow from that place. Going to flow from that place. A little bit later in verse 9, Paul says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. Paul doesn't want us to miss it. This whole thing, this whole call of generosity, the giving yourself to the Lord, it's centered in Christ and what He's done for us. Everything else is living out of that place. That's the source of all Christian generosity. Anything we give is an outflow of the grace we've received from Him. So we have to start giving ourselves to the Lord. Next, what stood out to me, what's challenged me, is that the Macedonians, they joyfully refused, stick with me, they joyfully refused to miss out on what God was doing in their world. They joyfully refused to miss out on what God was doing in their world. Well, what does that mean? It means that they caught the vision. They caught the energy. They caught the vision of what God was doing through the Apostle Paul to meet needs of people they had never seen and never met. But they said yes. They caught the vision. And they weren't going to miss it for anything. They believed in the mission of the church. They believed that what Paul was doing, what was happening there was needed. It was necessary. It was a move of God, and they were willing to leverage their lives to see it happen. They joyfully refused to miss out on what God was doing. And friends, we too, like, we have to see the connection between our generosity and the movement of God in our world. I don't have a chapter and a verse address for you today as to why God chooses to work through the generosity of his people, but he does. He does. God uses your generosity and mine to change people's lives. He uses our generosity to introduce himself to people. Man, God uses our generosity to change our lives. Yes. God uses our generosity to change our world. And friends, he's waiting for us to get in on that, to catch the vision of what he's doing, and give with joy. Man, not to be all down the deck going, preacher, ask for more money. No! He's like, man, catch a hold of the vision of what I'm doing. All of heaven and earth is moving towards a redemption story culminating in new heaven and new earth, and he wants us in on it. Man, let's do it. Let's do it. And that's the last part of the generosity. That's just, it's so simple, but we can't miss it. Like, this was pre-Nike, but they just did it. Right? You see, talking about generosity, I mean, we could have a year-long series about it, thinking about it, talking about it, understanding it. Sometime or another, we got to do it. And the Macedonians caught the vision. They were overflowing of the grace of the God, and they did it. They gave. And God used their generosity to move the needle in the lives of people in Jerusalem. And if you think about this, we're on the other side of the planet 2,000 years later looking at their story. It's generosity. Generosity. As we prepare to close, the band's going to come. I want to share one more story about generosity. A little more recent, this was 2008. Some of you, 2008, you might remember that our own economy was in a little bit of a bind. It was in that season at our Harrisonburg campus. We didn't exist yet here. Pastor Kerry Willis was our lead pastor. The economy was creating a lot of issues. There was housing challenges. There was work challenges. Man, people in our congregation were struggling, were suffering. And it was going on in such a time where, you know, we begin to worry and think about, man, can I pay the electric bill this month? Can we buy groceries this month? Can we meet our rent and our mortgage? And so it's in the midst of that season, Pastor Kerry, man, he sensed the Lord was inviting him to take an offering. Now, to be honest, you think about in that time, the last thing you want to hear is another offering, right? But that's what the Lord was putting on his heart. And so as he began to pray, and he and Miss Kim, they didn't have a lot of money to just pour into this thing, but God continued to speak this vision into his heart. And so he felt like the Lord was asking him to give beyond his comfort level. Specifically, he felt like the Lord was asking him to sell a very treasured item so he could give. This was that treasured item for Pastor Kerry. was a pearl drum kit. So Pastor Carey, he had the vision. He placed this drum set on the stage one Sunday morning and he covered it. And as he was telling the story of God's word and his faithfulness, he uncovers this beautiful pearl drum kit. And he told the congregation, "I'm going to sell this to give to the offering. Does anybody else want to join me?" I texted Pastor Carey this week to talk to him about this story, and he shared that week. He said, "We raised enough that year in the midst of our own difficulty." He said, "We raised enough that year that we were able to help all the people inside the church, and we even had some left to go help people in our community." And he said these words, this is so Pastor Carey, "It was a tender Christmas miracle." It's generosity. Ever since then, as a church, as we've grown, we collect the drummer boy offering. This is where it started. It's the drummer boy offering. And friends, it's practically every year, it's the largest single offering we take across our campuses. And we use that to meet needs inside of our campuses. There are people in the room with you today that have received the blessing of generosity through the drummer boy offering. And we give to organizations who are outside the church, and we save this, and we help with our benevolence fund that so throughout the year, if we encounter a need, we have resources. And friends, here in just a couple of weeks, on December 8th, we're going to take this offering again. And today, I'm inviting you to join, to step into what God's doing. You might say to take a step of faith. And the first step is easy, so you don't have to sweat, put your coat down, just wait a second. The first invitation, the step of faith I'd like you to take is to grab a card like this on the back. They're on the high top tables. They have three words on them, much more, but three bold words. It says pray, plan, and give. And I think I got that from the Macedonian story. You see, generosity is a grace from the Lord. And so I would invite you in the coming days and weeks to begin to pray that God would give you that grace, that He would stir that in your heart, that we would catch a vision of what He has in mind for our lives. Pray. Listen for how the Lord is inviting you to care for those around you through the grace of giving this Christmas. As you pray and you feel like you hear from the Lord, make a plan. Make a plan. Think about what He's asked of you. Talk about it with someone. Get ready. And then finally, just do it. On December the 8th, we're going to take the drummer boy offering. And I would just invite you to pray, plan, and give. Step into what God's doing to touch people sitting to your left and to your right today and across our campuses and our community. There's no twisting of arms, just an invitation. Would you stand with me? God moves when His people give. I don't want us to miss out on what He's doing. I don't want to miss out on the opportunities that come every day, and especially this one. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we give You thanks today for the story of the Macedonians. Lord, a group of believers who gave themselves to You. Lord, who received Your grace. Lord, they saw their lives as an offering to You. They caught the vision of what You were doing, what was being asked. They caught the vision of loving others through giving. Lord, they did it. To a level that 2,000 years later, we're still looking at their story and going, wow. Wow. So Lord, today we're just stepping into that story to say, yes, Lord. Maybe today we need to start by giving ourselves to you. Maybe the first thing we need to give is our heart to you in obedience to give you our yes. Lord, to receive your grace. Lord, because it's you that separates us from the fundraising catalog that our schools send out. Like, it's you. It's that source. So God, we need you. We give ourselves to you. And Lord, help us to envision, give us a vision for, yes, what you're doing around us, but Lord, how we can participate through the grace of giving today. Lord, you've given each one of us grace and gifts and talents and means and resources, Lord, to be used by you to grow your kingdom. We want to step into that today. So Lord, will you move? We love you. And that's because you first loved us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you join us in worship?